Good afternoon and welcome to Milwaukee Mennonite Church. It's nice to see everybody here today. Smallish group, but remember, all it takes is two or three gathered in his name. And the Spirit of God will be with us. So I'm really grateful to see everybody here. One of the wonderful things that has been updated in all the worship materials and Voices Together has been the land acknowledgement. And we've incorporated that into a number of our services, including virtual worship services beforehand. So I'd like to ask you to turn to 878 in Voices Together, and I'll be reading this out loud, and we'll be thinking about the indigenous people on whose land, ancestral lands, we are gathering today. We acknowledge that we here at Milwaukee Mennonite Church are gathering in the traditional territory of indigenous peoples. We affirm that settlers have specific responsibilities in the journey of reconciliation with indigenous peoples. Here in the Milwaukee area, we think particularly of a number of indigenous groups who were here for many, many years, for centuries, before the advent of Euro-American settlement. We think, for example, of the Ki'ikapoi, also known as the Kickapoo people in English, the Peoria people, the Bodewadmiakuyen, known as Potawatomi in English, the Menominee people, the Miamia people, also known as Miami in English, the Wa'azijia, also known as the Ho-Chunk people in English, and the Ocheth Shakowing, sometimes referred to as the Sauk people in English. We give thanks to Creator and to those peoples who have stewarded this land for generations. We are grateful for the opportunity to live, work, and worship here as we witness the reconciling movement of the Spirit and seek to live into right relations with our indigenous neighbors and all of creation. Now turn just a little bit back to number 854 and join me in our call to worship today. And please read the bold part. Some of us are exhausted. Some of us are curious about Jesus. Some of us are hungry. Some of us are disoriented. Some of us are broken. We gather around you today, O Christ. Grant us your peace. Amen. Just kind of marinate on that a little bit. Teach us, feed us, hear us, and heal us. I think that sums up very nicely why we're here. So now turning very far forward in the book into one of the gathering songs, number 5. And even though we have our masks on and we're not doing congregational singing at this point, I, for one, am extremely grateful that we are here in person so we can have at least something approaching a pre-pandemic experience. But even though we're not doing congregational singing, there's nothing wrong at all with humming and maybe even mouthing the words and singing just a little bit under your mask. So, but at a minimum, you can follow along and think about the words and listen to the beautiful music here. But don't be bashful about maybe doing a little bit of humming and singing and moving your lips as well. So, number 5, all people that on earth do dwell.
Hymns served with
We move now into a time of confession and reconciliation. So I invite you to turn to our prayer of confession today, which is number 888 in Voices Together. Please pray with me. Friends in Christ, God knows our needs before we ask, and in our asking prepares us to receive the gift of grace. We open our lives to God's healing presence, seeking peace with God and reconciliation with our neighbors. We are mindful not only of personal evil, but also of our communal sins, of family, class, race, and nation. We confess to God whatever has wounded us or brought injury to others, that we may receive mercy and become for each other ministers of God's grace. Hear the good news. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ died for us. Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power over us, for us. And Christ prays for us. Know that you are forgiven, and be at peace. Amen. Now turn to 163, and follow along with Amazing Grace.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found, was blind, but
as we read before, we're actually called to be ministers of God's grace. And so as an expression of that, I'd invite you to turn to an expression of passing the peace of Christ with one another, which we've done a few times now in ASL, and we're going to do a little bit of a practice because I think it's always useful to have that. If you turn to 850 and you look at the sort of lower central right area, and what we're going to do is wish each other the peace of Christ. And so I think you remember, or you may remember, that we start off with the ASL sign for peace, and that has two parts, actually three, so it's two gestures. So we go like this, and then move our hands like that, right? So let's just practice this. Which is becoming quiet or becoming still, that's peace. And then we have the preposition with. Okay. And as I mentioned before, in manual languages, including ASL, it's not rude to point. And so in order to indicate who we're wishing the peace of Christ to, peace be with you, you can point at someone. It's uncomfortable, I know, to do that sometimes, but that's what we'll do. So let's just try it all together, the complete sentence here, all right? All right, so please stand up and wish the peace of Christ with one another.
This is 2 Samuel 11, 1 through 15. In the spring of that year, the time when kings go out to battle, David sent Joab with his officers and all of Israel with him. They ravaged the Ammonites and besieged Rabbah, but David remained in Jerusalem. It happened late one afternoon when David rose from his couch and was walking about the roof of the king's palace that he saw from the roof a woman bathing. The woman was very beautiful. David sent someone to inquire about the woman. It was reported back to him, "This is Bathsheba, daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." So David sent messengers to get her, and she came to him, and he lay with her. Now she was purifying herself. Then she returned to her house. The woman conceived, and she sent and told David, "I am pregnant." So David sent word to Joab, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab sent Uriah to David. When Uriah came to him, David asked how Joab and the people fared and how the war was going. Then David said to Uriah, "Go down to your house and wash your feet." Uriah went out of the king's house, and there followed him a present from the king. But Uriah slept at the entrance of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and did not go down to his own house. When they told David Uriah did not go down to his own house, David said to Uriah, "You have just come from a journey. Why did you not go down to your own house?" Uriah said to David, "The ark and Israel and Judah remain in booths and in tents, and my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are camping in the open field. Shall I then go to my house to eat and drink and to lie with my wife? As you live and as your soul lives, I will not do such a thing." Then David said to Uriah, "Remain here today also, and tomorrow I will send you back." So Uriah remained in Jerusalem that day. On the next day, David invited him to eat and drink in his presence and made him drunk. And in the evening, he went out to lie on his couch with the servants of his lord, but he did not go down to his house. So in the morning, David wrote a letter to Joab and sent it by the hand of Uriah. In the letter he wrote, "Set Uriah in the forefront where the fighting is the fiercest, and then draw back from him, so that he may be struck down and die."
Our second piece of scripture for today is Psalm 14. Fools say in their hearts, "There is no God." They are corrupt and they do abominable deeds. There is no one who does good. The Lord looks down from heaven on humankind to see if there are any who are wise, who seek after God. They have all gone astray. They are all alike perverse. There is no one who does good, no, not one. Have they no knowledge, all the evildoers who eat up my people as they eat bread and do not call upon the Lord? There they shall be in great terror, for God is with the company of the righteous. You would confound the plans of the poor, but the Lord is their refuge. Oh, that deliverance for Israel would come from Zion, when the Lord restores the fortune of God's people, Jacob will rejoice, and Israel will be glad.
All right, so first we have children's time. I guess if Noel wants to come up. Do I have the right Ruthie? Okay. Okay. So I guess the sort of kids' version of my message for today is that there are a lot of times... Oh, thank you. There are a lot of times growing up when it's pretty easy to know what the right thing to do is, and it's pretty easy to do the right thing. And, you know, at least when I was a kid, and most of the kids I've interacted with, you know, want to be good, more or less. So when your sibling is being nice to you, it's pretty easy to, you know, share your toys with them. It's pretty easy to, you know, be a good friend to someone who's nice to you. But there are a lot of times when it's not so easy to know what's right to do. You know, maybe it's not easy to know what to do with someone who's mean to you at school, or sometimes it's hard to do the right thing even when you know what that is. But fortunately, God gives us parents and churches and family to help us figure that out. God gives us friends to help us figure that out, and you never really grow out of leaning on them. So, now time for the, I guess, the main reflection. The older I get, the more complicated my understanding of David gets. When I was a little kid, David was the kid, just like me, who, by God's power, defeated the giant Goliath. When I got a little older, I learned about how he was best friends with Jonathan. And as my Sunday school teachers told me, they were definitely just friends. No matter how much it sounded like they were more than friends, they were definitely just best friends. Eventually, I learned about his affair with Bathsheba and the murder he used to cover it up. But after that, I quickly learned that he was really, really sorry about it afterward. And, you know, he became a good king again. And then all the bloodshed and family dysfunction and disobedience to God that I read about in one of my failed attempts to read through the entire Bible, I mostly just learned to ignore that. David was a good boy and then a complicated man. And today's story wasn't a blip in an otherwise untarnished life. It was a dark period in a gray kingship. His literal high position as a king in his large house was what allowed him to see Bathsheba on the roof. And at this time, roofs were normally a relatively private place, as houses were mostly on the same level and roofs had parapets. And then his figurative high position was what enabled him and what he used to have his affair and then cover it up. It's hard to believe that he was the so-called man after God's own heart. But then again, maybe this account of David's life is actually pretty realistic, at least pretty easy for us to relate to. Most of us grew up wanting to be good. We grew up wanting to be brave. And then we grew into teenagers and young adults who wanted to change the world, who tried to change the world, and who believed that we could do it. And then, we as kind of a culture and a species tend to grow up into something more complex. We often find ourselves willing to push the world changing aside to build our careers and our retirement savings. Maybe sending our kids to better schools means throwing fellow workers or poor communities under the bus. We may not be royalty, but we have a lot in common with King David, the very complicated man after God's own heart. When I see this pattern, it's easy for me to despair, much like the psalmist. I think that a lot of Christians tend to misread that first verse as like some sort of defense of the existence of God. But when I read it for this, and I guess I shouldn't say misread, but when I read it in the context of the entire psalm, it wasn't that he was saying, "You're foolish if you don't believe in God." He's more saying, "Look at how all these fools can just go around saying that there's no God and nobody's good enough to stop them. Everyone around me is evil and they don't care." Sometimes it really seems like the world has become an evil place and that trying to make it any better is an impossible mission, that trying to be better ourselves is an impossible mission. We may be made in God's image, but the juice of the forbidden fruit courses through our veins and seems to grow stronger with each passing day. When I despair like this, I want to hide from the world and let it take whatever course it would like. And I doubt that I am alone in this. Our passages today did not enlighten me to any special solution for the complications of at least attempting ethical living. And they did not reveal an antidote for despair. However, I know that this community that we have together helps. You help me navigate ethical decisions, and you remind me that good people still exist. And for that, I would just like to say thank you.
Please turn to number 996 in Voices Together, and I'm going to preface this prayer with some of the joys and concerns that we've just lifted up or shared with one another. And then once I move into listening, God, then you'll follow in with you hear our prayers. Dear God, thank you so much for being with us. Sometimes we take your presence for granted and we overlook your presence and your comfort and support. For that, we are sorry. But we are so grateful when we turn to you, you're there. And that we bring our concerns to you and you listen to us. And we lift up our joys and you rejoice with us. Listening God, you hear our prayers before we speak, yet welcome our praying. Therefore, we come with confidence to lay our requests before you. We pray for Christians everywhere, for our denomination and congregation, for strength to persevere in faithfulness. We pray for the whole people of God. We pray for the nations of the world, for all leaders, and for those who make policy decisions. We pray for the well-being of our global community. We pray for the earth and all living creatures, for regions and species at risk, and for the sharing of resources. We pray for the wholeness of creation. We pray for those who are overcome by violence, for victims of injustice or oppression, and for those in poverty or pain. We pray for all who need healing and peace. We pray for those who endure trials, for those who are dying, and for those who mourn. We pray for all in need of comfort and hope. You have heard the prayers of your people, O God. We rest in the comfort of your care as we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, then please turn to 1050 in Voices Together for the benediction before we have our closing song. From where we are to where you need us, Jesus, now lead on. From the familiarity of what we know to the wonder of what you will reveal, Jesus, now lead on. To transform the fabric of this world until it resembles the shape of your kingdom, Jesus, now lead on. Because good things have been prepared for those who love God, Jesus, now lead on. Our last song today is number 810 in Voices Together, Go My Friends in Grace. And again, feel free to mouth the words or hum or sing along under your mask.
My friends in
Go, my friends, in grace, and remember that God is there, God is here, God is always with us. Benedictus Deus, blessed be God. Go in peace.